And Jesus humbled himself and became obedient, even unto the death of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, with great solemnity, we recall the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this Holy Week, we will meditate upon the great mysteries of how the Lord of heaven and earth has come among us in the person of Jesus Christ to pour out his love for us on that cross. We see the collect in the epistle remind us that the one who suffers is God the Son, God himself in the person of his Son. And so we see the great love of God poured out by the Father, who has given the gift of his only Son, that man might come to be redeemed, that we might be rescued from sin and from death. And it is the great love of the Son of God to become one of us in Jesus Christ and to pour out his life for us upon the cross. And so we think about that great love, we meditate upon it, and we give God thanks for it. We see in the account of the passion, the suffering of our Lord, and of his death, we see some of the measure of his love, and we can take note and marvel. For the one who has come among us is the Creator himself. This is the Son of God, through whom all things were made. He is the one who is omnipotent, who has all power, co-equal to the Father, co-equal to the Holy Spirit. And so that same Jesus, in his earthly ministry, we see that man of action which pours out the kingdom of heaven in the miracles and in healings, in the banishing of demons. And then we see, after the agony in the garden, when he kneels and prays, "Not my will, thy will be done," then we see a great shift, and the one who is all-powerful allows himself to be handled. In the Gospel of John, we hear about Jesus, who, when the temple guard came to arrest him, and they asked if he was Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, "I am he," it blew them over. They had to pick themselves back up. And then after that, he allows himself to be arrested. What a remarkable thing to think that the prime mover of all creation is stopped, arrested, for our sake. The one who has all power allows himself to be handled, led as a lamb to the slaughter, for you and for me, for our sake and for our salvation. This is a suffering love. This is a love that really knows no bounds. That the one who has all power becomes powerless for our sake. We see that Jesus is then falsely accused by the Sanhedrin and by those who make accusation before Pilate. They accuse him of being an insurrectionist, of leading people to a place where they would not recognize Caesar in his power and render tribute unto him. And we know that that's false. Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." When there was a tax that had to be paid, he told Peter to go get the money out of the mouth of the fish, and he did. And they paid the tax. This was a false accusation. They accused him of being king of the Jews, which got the red flag going for Pilate. It was true, thou sayest. It is true he is the rightful king of the Jews, and yet his kingdom is not of this world. He did not have servants that would fight with him and defend him for an earthly kingdom. And so we see him falsely accused. And who is it that is falsely accused? It is the Son of God, who has declared to us that he is the way and the truth and the life. It is truth himself who is falsely accused. It is the ground of reality himself who bears false accusation. It is the shining truth from heaven himself who is maligned and smeared. And he allows this to happen, that he might come and accomplish that for which he came, that he might rescue you and me and lift us out of darkness into his own glorious light. He has done this for our sake and for our salvation. The truth has come among us and borne the lie that we might be rescued. We see these attempts at justice which are just completely a mockery of justice. Sanhedrin, the chief priests, up late at night, even during the week of the Passover, a lot of important people, very busy in the darkest hours of the night, making sure to accomplish this power play so important to them that they might not lose their place in their nation. And not in the light of day, but in the darkness and the cover of night, they bring the injustice upon this one who is the just judge himself. Pilate, a pagan, can't even see what there is to do. Three times he says, "I find no evil in this man," and tries to have him acquitted. He even sends him to be scourged, that he might maybe evoke some pity from them. Behold the man, a scourging, that chastisement which would kill some men. And yet they persist in their desire to have him crucified. They run roughshod over justice again and again and again, for there is no accusation they can truthfully bring upon him. No one can convict him of any evil doing. And yet they destroy their own system of justice to bring an injustice upon the one who is the just judge. Jesus Christ, the Pantocrator, the one who rules heaven and earth, the one who will come again at the end of time to judge both the quick and the dead and the nations with his truth. The just judge is judge of men, and he allows this indignity, this travesty to fall upon him for love's sake, that we might be brought out of the bondage of sin into the glorious freedom of the children of heaven. God has done this. God the Son, the just judge, has borne the iniquity for us, for you and for me, for us and for our salvation. And we see then that after judgment is brought upon him, then here comes the mocking of the king, Herod and his court, his Herod Antipas, who is there from Galilee in Jerusalem for the Passover. He and his men of war, they set him at naught because he won't perform a miracle for curiosity's sake. The same one who would heal anybody of any disease, the great physician, the one who multiplied loaves and fishes. When Herod comes to him, wants him to dance his tune, there is no miracle. So they set him at naught. They mock him. They put a robe upon him. And they hail him King of the Jews, send him back to Pilate. And his men of war take note. They see what Herod's men have done. They up the ante. And so they press a crown of thorns into his scalp. They put a broken reed in his hand, his royal scepter. They mock him. And he endures that. And this then begins the scourging, where they reduce him. They begin to kill him by degrees in the torturous, ingenious ways the Romans had developed. And even to the death of the cross he goes, that he might die the death. And who is it that is dying upon the cross? It is the Son of God, who is love's pure light, the one through whom life has come from the beginning, the life giver. What a sad thing to see that Pilate, for expediency's sake, releases a murderer, Barabbas, one who has taken life. He is acquitted, the one who has given to all of us life, the one who gives light to all people. He is the one that is brought into the penalty of death. And he bears that punishment for our sakes. There is an exchange here. We are the slaves who have sinned. He is the righteous Son who is punished. He takes our place, that punishment might be meted out, that which was required by a just God. And on that tree, Jesus becomes sin for our sake, and the wrath of God is poured upon him, that we might be delivered. And so we see unfathomable love dying upon the tree for you and for me, for us, and for our salvation. Christ has conquered on the tree. Entering into death, he breaks its power, rises again from the dead. And so by the first man, Adam, came death. By the second Adam, Jesus Christ, comes life, and we are delivered. In our own human pride, we think we can save ourselves. We think that we have it in and of ourselves to rescue ourselves from sin, the tendency to do those things that we ought not to do, those things that are not loving. We think we can somehow manage our way into righteousness. We know that's false. Anybody who's wrestled with their own heart knows that. We think as a human race that we can save ourselves from the consequence of sin that came upon Adam and Eve, which is death. That great existential fact that we are a moribund human race. And somehow we think by our own construction of the Tower of Babel, we can secure somehow and organize ourselves with the brightest talent from the nations of the world and all the ways that we can lick the earth for its power to bring ourselves through death, and we cannot. We are too small. It is God that must save, and God has done it. In Jesus Christ, through his suffering and death upon the cross, we are now redeemed. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And now the angel of death passes over, and we are rescued. And so on this Palm Sunday, let us with grateful hearts remember what Christ has done. And in the context of this Holy Communion, where we set forth and remember the death of Christ, let us come with glad hearts and receive him sacramentally, that we might receive of Christ that for which he came, that we not deny the giver of his, that we not deny the giver by refusing the gift, that we receive the love that Christ has come to give us. Let us receive with glad hearts the bread of life and rejoice today in the victory of Christ. For he has come for you and for me, for us and for our salvation. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.